Okay, so you are in vision now, and you can wave to the people at home. Hey guys, we got another episode, first episode of the Banana Slam Tournament podcast with our lovely guest, Odie Pixel here. Just had dinner with you last night. It was nice. It was a little Italian five course. It was a little fancy. It was nice. Last time I'm going to see you before you go off and do your casting stuff, which I'm a bit sad about. But yeah, man, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. I mean, been doing a lot, been moving house obviously recently, so not really had too much time to tune into the Dota and stuff, but that's made me more excited for it. You know, I've obviously had a little bit of a quick look at what's been going on with a lot of the roster changes and things, so yeah, looking forward to it. Still, I am disappointed, very disappointed that we don't have a big patch, and I thought we were going to get one before the new season, and honestly, it's now a week away. I'm doubtful now. So a little bit disappointed about that. I'm always used to after TI, we get big things, big changes, you know, map changes. It hasn't happened, so I'm a little bit sad because of that. But I'm looking forward to hopefully maybe something coming later in the year. I hope it does at least, because I feel like it's been a while since we had something really juicy. But yeah, I'm doing good.
we appreciate the thorough answer. No, it's
done.
Yeah, people have heard Monkeys and I talk enough, so yeah, you're actually done. You've done your portion for the show. Thanks for coming on. Exactly. We'll come back to what's going on in your life in just a bit, because you know I know it all, but there's a lot of exciting stuff that there's to talk about there. But Monkeys, man, how you doing too, man?
Exciting. Anyway, sorry.
I'm doing great, you know. I've changed my Steam name to I Am Gold, and I'm playing Bounty Hunter every game, and I'm winning like 70% of my games, so it's nice.
What did you do? Ags Octarine or what?
Vanguard into Ags.
Okay.
And then,
that's nice.
And then, you know, whatever I need from there, because it's Bounty Hunter, you know.
Yeah. And you can win the offlane, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And is it winning?
I have like a 70% win rate with it.
Nice.
You're not getting like Naga Sirened or like Chaos Knighted or anything? Every time I played Bounty Hunter offlane, I played against an Illusion hero and I lost.
No, not really. I mean, people just kind of suck, so I can just...
Do they just pick like the jugs and stuff and you just...
I mean, my best lanes have literally been like... I mean, dude, I even shit on a PO in lane, and then, like, the game wasn't even hard because of how hard I won the lane. Because I just go, I max Q and W, I don't even get invis. I literally just man fight them and keep...
Okay, people need to learn, PL is not good in lane versus Bounty Hunter. It's Naga Siren and Chaos Knight. Absolutely unplayable for all the people that are losing to monkeys forever. Don't make
Don't do that. I want to keep winning games.
And just so you know, that's like about as much as we're going to talk about Dota today. So
nice. I'm down to talk about anything. No, I really am. Maybe within limits. But, you know, I'm to discuss any sort of interesting topic or learn something new here with you two.
When you said anything, I immediately thought of the conversation on the airplane that you told me about. On the way back from TI.
Oh, we can talk about... I mean, I think that's kind of... Well, it's not boring, but we can talk about life and existence, Brian, and what happens in the future and what happened before and why it all happens. But I don't think the viewers would find it very interesting.
Yeah, you know, it gets existential around here sometimes, Owen, but...
Oh, okay. Well,
well, you know, I said there's some stuff going on in your life. You are currently moving into your first house, correct? This is your first house? Like, not just apartment, but, like, house?
Well, me and you were staying in a place together. There was a house before, but it was kind of like a halfway house, you know? It was like, well, this is, we'll just go with this one, great position, location. But we were still always, like, looking for the house that we wanted to live in. And yeah, we recently found that, we got it, and we're moving in. Well, we've moved in, we've got all the boxes moved over, so we just moved over into sort of the new house that's like, you know, it's like, this is going to be our home. So yeah, we're very exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's great. No, very happy with the house. Lovely place. We're very close to Yo's parents and family, so yeah, it's really nice. You know, we can walk around the corner, see them. Lots of lovely little Dutch restaurants and bars to visit. And a little bit out of the city, which is nice. Because, yeah, I mean, city life is cool. But as someone who sort of just sits indoors and plays computer games all the time, it's, you know, I'd rather have sort of the sound of birds out my window rather than the sound of cars. So, you know, That's nice.
Hey, good so reason. I just want to say, you know, I'm happy about the house location because the only thing I've done so far near your house was that restaurant we went to. I don't remember the name of it, but it, yeah, was 30 nice. Euro all you can eat. All and it was like eat. It was all you can eat, and it was like good. It was like fancy food. It wasn't like, you know, like fast food or whatever. It was literally like fancily prepared, you know, presentation on the dish kind of stuff. And it was all you can eat. Like when I thought it was like when I saw 30 euro because it was, the menu was in Dutch, I thought it was like per course or something that we were ordering. But instead, you just pay the 30 for the entire meal. So I will be having to stop by Owen's house. Once again, so you know, I've heard some of the cool features from your house, but you know, where I'm from, at least, especially in New York, you obviously don't have room to put like extra stuff in your in your house, right? Because everything's just so expensive. But you guys have three stories in a basement, is how you describe it.
Basement, not a usable basement. But we're doing the floor. We've ripped the floor up, and we haven't put new floor in because we ripped the floor up, and there's actually like some water under the floor, and that's bad. So, but it's all good. We checked the water, we dried the water, and then I don't think the water's going to be keep coming in anymore. I think it was just from the rain, and it was coming in the windows, and in the windows we had like these little flower beds by the windows, and we just had to dig them down deeper, so now that when the rain goes in, it doesn't go on the top of the flower bed and come in the window. It now like goes deeper, so it doesn't actually reach the window and go into the basement. So I think we fixed it.
What I love about this podcast, tell me if you're getting this vibes, monkeys, you can tell why this guy is the rap god of casting. He can just like you just gave like such a vivid, but like it's a description of what you guys did to fix a water problem at your house.
I was literally just thinking about, I was like, Owen's voice and just like the tempo of how he talks is just so good for casting. I was literally just thinking
that. Because like it's one of those where I'm listening to him and like I'm building this image of what he's exactly talking about. And you don't really realize how fast he's talking because you actually understand it. I feel like most of the time when people talk that fast, it's like they lose you somewhere in the description. So
not Owen, though.
Yeah, not Owen. I've never really done like a Q&A type thing with Owen. So this is quite funny. But no, man. So it's honestly really exciting. I'm excited for you guys. I know you guys have been in the like... knowing you're gonna move, to imagine there's like something nice, especially as like a gamer, traveler, broadcaster. I imagine Monkeys totally understands coming from like a traveling gamer perspective of like, you know, this is where you're gonna be, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's it definitely makes me more sort of on split when it comes to like, oh, do you want to travel and do this event or that event? Because I'm like, well, I kind of just want to stay home and enjoy my house, you know. Which, you know, that's a wonderful problem to have, you know, the fact that the house that I've got is, you know, I'm so happy with it that I kind of just want to stay at home rather than travel the wonderful world and visit all these wonderful places. But no, it's great. It's great. It really is. And look forward to, you know, obviously when things come a bit better with being able to travel around the world and stuff, just having lots of people come over and visit and stay over. You two are both very welcome. You know, if you ever do pop by, I know Brian will, but Monkeys...
It's a little bit shorter of a trip for me than it is for...
A little bit. Well, Monkeys, where are you? Whereabouts are you in America?
I'm in Pennsylvania in the U.S.
That's like in the middle bit, right?
No, East Coast.
Oh, it's on the East Coast.
Yeah.
That's not too far.
It's like a 6-hour flight probably or something.
You can get direct flight to Amsterdam, which you have to go through like somewhere.
Yeah, but I would assume so. I honestly have no... BSJ would know better than me because...
I know you can get one from New York, but I don't actually know about Philadelphia.
Yeah. It might be a connector flight like to New York and then... Yeah. But Philly to New York would be like a 30-minute flight or something, 40 minutes.
I mean, yeah, like Monkeys, are you never going to come over anyway to do like an in-person podcast with Brian?
I mean, well, when he's in New York, I feel like it would be much more doable. But
you got to go all the way, cool, man. Yeah, dedication.
Yes, yeah, so I will come. I will come to the Netherlands just to do a podcast with
just to do an episode.
I'll be out of there right after.
We're gonna have to find some sick sponsorship for that plane flight.
Get your sponsors to pay for it.
True. BSA, why don't we just do that? Let's just get sponsors.
Yeah, that's like a really good idea, actually. People are telling me to look at your voice levels compared to mine, and on OBS, you guys are louder than me. I am very confused. Give me a second here. People are all saying you're too quiet.
Have you know you've not got the slider down on us, unlike
no,
the...
No, I've got the slider up on me, or sorry, down on me and up on you, and they're still saying it's too loud. So I'm just gonna stick with this. I can't imagine it's that bad based on what I'm seeing. But sorry for interrupting again. Okay, so you know we have. I always have a strict outline for this podcast. I don't know if you know this. Owen,
oh, I didn't
but
fail.
Like, I always have notes. I'm very prepared always.
Yeah. Exactly. BSK is constantly thinking of questions to ask our guests. He keeps them all down in a notebook, and you know, if we get derailed from that at all, BSK,
I will whip us back into shape. Yes. Yeah, I refuse to deviate from the rigorous regimen of scheduling we've got here. You know, coming up, I'm sure we've all got some stuff, but maybe monkeys. We've asked you about the holidays. Is there any update? Is there any fun stuff you got looking forward to? Thanksgiving dinner, perhaps, with the fam? Or
I think we don't do that over here. I think I'm just spending my Thanksgiving with my grandmother. And, you know, other than that, I'm not really doing much.
Is she really good cook, or...?
Well, she was, but she's in her 90s now, so we try not to, you know, make her do any cooking anymore. She's reached the point that she should be able to relax.
Aren't we all at that point at some, it feels like at least.
I mean, I feel like we're not at that point I'm turning 28. You're what, a year and a half older than me? You're 29?
Yeah, that's a little weird, you know that, man. Okay. Well, just saying.
How is it weird? He knows that.
Why? Yeah. Why is that weird?
It's just a little weird, man. I feel like age is just a number. It's an arbitrary value that you shouldn't really know that well. You know, shouldn't dwell on these things. And so I know you're going to the DPC. Are you allowed to talk about exactly what you're doing? Or
I don't know. Although, people could probably guess. You know, they could probably guess where I'm going to be. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Because I think even though the Dota, as I said, I feel like just we obviously had a patch and it changed a little bit. You know, it hasn't changed massively. I think obviously the big change is going to be all the different lineups. Really, a lot of very interesting roster changes. So yeah, going to be very much looking forward to seeing how some of those come into play.
What team are you? I'll say two teams, one that you're rooting for and one that you're just excited to like kind of see in general, you know,
rooting for. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah.
Rooting.
Like, is there a team that you are?
Is Team Bold playing?
They are playing. Yeah. I think it's
that's your.
That's really good. Actually. I think you're saying that in the wrong stream, but I think that's meaning you should probably go to the Bork stream and advertise it there. But what about like all the new rosters? Which one are you like?
He's good.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. I'll look at them right now. Just I would say I am.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think I'm excited to see, and I think, I'm actually going to go with, probably not the one people, I say OG. You know, they've got these new players, I've never heard of them. I hadn't heard of Teen Spirit a year ago. They did pretty well, so I'm going to go on the logic that I haven't heard of some of their players and say that they're going to be amazing.
I do think with time, the OG squad will probably become really good, because I think Taiga is like a really good baseline for having good ideas, because like he may not have been like the most standout player on Liquid, but I think he was like super super consistent like all the time. I mean he definitely had some big plays. There's like the time him and Quakefa like 2v5 VP, like they were just defending their ancient. I think it was Dark Willow and OD or something against like 5 VP heroes, and they somehow survived. And but anyways, I think Taiga's just a good baseline, and you know, obviously with the mentorship of No Tail and Seb, like I don't know if that squad is willing to listen at all, they will naturally become very very good.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember last season as well. Obviously, Amar, he was one of the standout players in. Can't remember what the team was. It was on Ghost Frogs or something. One of the weird teams he was playing on, and he was like just one of those players that was like this new kid. I think he's literally like what, 16 or something, and you know, you could tell that he's got potential. So yeah. It's not surprising that they picked him up. And yeah, so not too sure about them in the carry, but that's boded pretty well for some of the recent teams. You know, Spirit coming through. A lot of people have said just didn't know some of these players, you know, pretty much before the last season started, and they crushed it. They crushed it, obviously, at TR. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm excited to see what they do.
I definitely think there's a lot of value in just getting younger players who, like, still have that thirst for, like, trying to prove themselves and, like, really are chasing to get better at the game, because I feel like a lot of the people, I mean, not everyone, obviously, you know, you have like Kuro and Puppy who have been at every, well, not Kuro now, but every TI up until now, but and like they're so super competitive, but I feel like a lot of competitors, like, they lose that intense drive, you know, at some point, and you know, a lot of younger people still have that urge to, you know, just better in everyone.
Okay.
So I think it's like a good route to go for OG.
I think this is literally the perfect segue to the next note on my outline here. And so I actually haven't thought to ask you this before, Owen, but you know, Monkey's just mentioned how people kind of lose this drive for competitive and how like he likes to see the people who have that. So I feel like this year, interestingly enough, is going to be one of the first years that we see a pretty good amount of new talent in like the DPC and just in general. So I'm wondering, like, first question would be, do you think there's like a similar drive / hunger that goes away over time being like a caster or being like a talent in general?
I mean, I think obviously it varies from person to person, really, what their goals and, you know, sort of aims are in their career and in their life when it comes to, you know, putting themselves to work in the scene. I think, personally, I love seeing new talent. I really do. I even though it doesn't really make sense, but I really look forward to the day where there's all these brand new casters coming up, and they're sort of there, you know, they're knocking me out of my job, because then, you know, it suddenly gets more exciting, you know. There's just more sort of competition out there. So yeah, I'm always very happy to have fresh faces come in and do what they can. I think it's obviously very tough for new talent. It's a very critical community, which so obviously some people aren't too happy with. I think it's a good thing to an extent. Obviously, there can be a lot of vitriol online, which is just unacceptable. But for the most part, having something, you know, like the Reddit, dare I say, I think it can be good, you know, for these new talent to see. They've got to be able to take in sort of feedback and things without sort of kind of feeling themselves get shot down too much by, you know, some of the more harsh comments. But it is it's something, you know, to have that's sort of like a reflection of what a large group of people think about what you're doing. That's, I think, is an interesting thing, you know. But you've got to be prepared to deal with it, because it's not easy to deal with, especially if, you know, I don't know, if you have a bad day or something, and, you know, like a clip of you goes up and suddenly people are dissing you. I mean, my advice in those situations really would be to sort of just tune out of that. And, you know, obviously, well, take in as much as you can, but don't let yourself get kicked down too hard. I know it's tough, because I work with a lot of brilliant people, and obviously sometimes these people, you know, do get sort of negative comments online that do affect them. But then that, I'm sort of stuck in a dilemma then, because I think it's good that there is a place that people can put negative comments. But then at the same time, you know, I don't like seeing negative comments about people that I care about. But hey, you know, it's life. It's not easy. You know, everything's not, you know, easy in terms of what's right and what's wrong. So,
well, I feel like for anyone who wants to like be a face or be a personality, and not just Dota, but in anything on the internet, you're going to be receiving so much criticism on what you're doing. Like, it's just part of what you do. Like, it happens to players, it happens to streamers, it happens to talent. Like, I don't know. I agree with you that, like, I do think that it's good to have that criticism to like help push people to do better over and over. But yeah. I understand it gets frustrating. I mean, trust me, I deal with Twitch chat all the day, it can be absolutely miserable.
For streamers, for sure. I mean, and that's the, like, it'd be one comment, you know, you're streaming, you're having a great time, and, you know, you miss a CS, and then someone comes in your chat and they say,
CS laws. Oh.
It's like a nasty CS law. Because it can be a nasty CS law. Sometimes a nasty CS law.
Yeah, it's like a vindictive one.
Exactly. He actually was angry that I missed a CS, and then you feel hurt. You're like, I tried to hit it. You know. A lot of the times, it really depends on how you interpret and read sort of the feedback or responses that you're getting, whether it be for Twitch chat or Reddit. You know, well, one good way I like to deal with some of the, say, is it some more negative comments is, you know, read them in sort of the manner that it's your someone you know, like a friend typing it, but in like a you know, it's your friend criticizing you. Because suddenly if you read it from the perspective that it's a friendly person saying that, then you can sort of, you know, it kind of rounds off the harshness of the critical edges, and it makes it more of like a, oh, well, they're just exaggerating, or, you know, being extreme, or, you know, being hyperbolic to just make a point. But in reality, there's actually something to what they're saying, even though what they're saying is not in a way, or is in a way that if you didn't read it in the fashion where you're sort of saying, okay, this person's just having a bit of fun, you know, just gone online and written some shit, that you could be like, oh, this is a really harmful thing for them to say about me, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed over time, kind of got called out on it, was that I started taking, so like when you're in person and somebody says something to you, you have that easy read of, like, we always talk, people always talk about this. It's very easy to tell, are they joking, sarcastic, whatever.
Yes.
But like online, for whatever reason, I feel like over time as a streamer, I started taking people more and more seriously. Like, I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why it is. It's like this weird phenomenon where you're like, after I've read 100 trolling messages, eventually I'm going to believe them, you know, to some extent, even if they're just trying to mess with me. And there's like this weird reminder that you like have to give yourself that almost every person that's making a comment about you, positive or negative, is like 100 times less invested in what they said than what you would be invested in what they said, right? Like,
absolutely.
Like, I care way more about whatever that comment was than he did. He was there's a good chance that he, like, even if it sounds angry, it sounds trolly, that, like, he probably put 4 seconds maximum of thought into that comment and just put it out there, right? So I think
here's ESJ obsessing over it over
this. Yeah, and here you are like, did this guy really mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, well, the reason why I say this is because, you know, Owen, you said, you know, you gotta assume that there was like a good guy or whatever behind that comment. And I think like I just assume my method, which is similar, is that that guy didn't mean anything. Either way, like, it didn't mean much to them, whatever they just said. Like maybe they kind of liked my cast, maybe they kind of didn't like it. The only point where I really take, like, Reddit or Twitch chat seriously, or at least I'm trying to get to this point, is when it's, like, an overwhelming majority or, like, a lot of people that are saying the same message. Because even if, like, I mean, I've used this example before, but, like, the Bias J thing back at, the Kiev Major, it's yeah, like, Major. I know internally that I wasn't rooting for Quincy Crew, but then if everyone, if not everyone, a lot of people have this impression that I was, you know, why? And then I remember, like, well, I got hired to do the series like an hour before, and because like schedule changes, and I realized I knew a lot more about Quincy Crew than I did about T1. So that means I talked about Quincy Crew way more than I talked about T1. So inevitably, since I know more about one team and I didn't do any last minute prep for the other team, it made it so that I appeared quite biased one way or the other. So what that means is that if that many people view it that way, don't take it as like face value. Take it as something made them view you this way, and try to work on that. And I've realized that like that makes it feel like less of a personal attack. It makes it feel more digestible, because I don't know, when you have all these voices just being thrown at you, all these comments, a lot of the time I think the worst part about it is I don't really know what to do with that. You know, like what's like tangible action from me?
But the thing is, it does give you something to react to in, I think, a positive way. Like, for example, with the example you give where people were criticizing you because they didn't think you were, you know, speaking evenly and fairly about an American team and a Southeast Asian team in a match, you know, you can then sort of take that opportunity to then come back in the next cast and have done additional research on like T1 or an SEA team. And I find it particularly with the SEA fans, they will be very, they will appreciate, you know, if you put the extra effort into sort of, being a little better at something that they were criticizing you for. So then if you came back in the next cast and you did obviously have, you know, it's quite clearly that you've done extra research and you become fully prepared with knowledge about the SEA team or T1, it's very likely that the majority of the fans that criticized you the first time round would go, hey, you know what? It's clear that they did take on board sort of the criticism that was put out there by the fans, and they're doing a great job, you know. So I don't, maybe I'm an optimist, but I do feel that whenever there is sort of that mass criticism, there's usually something, as sort of as hard as it is to normally think of what you want to do in response to it at the time, because I get it, right? You're seeing all these hateful comments and it feels hateful, you know, it feels like a lot of people just want to get you down. But in reality, I do think it's just sort of giving you some pointers that you can work on and then come back with. And then, yeah, those people, you know, those comments, it will fade away. It will disappear off the front page of our Dota 2 in a couple of days. And that's it. You know, life moves on. But you've sort of been given a bit of a pointer to work on and get better.
I think we need to take a pause here.
What would that pause for? You got ads.
No. We talked about that. We need to get those. No, I mean, I don't know if you're getting this vibe, Monkeys. I don't know how, like, I know you've met Owen before, but it's like, whenever Owen talks, it, like, makes you oddly positive about something you wouldn't think could ever be positive.
Yep, I'm so ready to take all of the criticism now. Thanks.
I'm ready for my Twitch chat to shit on me for at least a week from this.
And don't get me wrong, it's not easy. And a lot of times it gets me down. And obviously, Sheev's a big part of that. She helps me sort of think positively about, you know, sometimes if, you know, an odd comment gets me down and such. And, yeah, the reality of it is, it is, as you said, Brian, you know, a lot of the comments, the majority of the comments, you know, it's just someone coming online, giving a bit of an opinion and then moving on with their life. So by all means, you should read the comment, but then also move on with your life. You know, don't let it hang over you. And yeah, just sort of take something from it that doesn't bring you down mentally, but take something that is going to propel you to do something good or better in the future in regards to the topic of conversation, probably not the individual comments, because obviously when people are typing shit online, they type shit online, you know, it's they've got a point, but they'll write it in some stupid way because it's the internet, you know, we write stupid shit on the internet. Well, I used to, I don't really anymore, you know, but the kids do nowadays, you know, kids love to write dumb shit on the internet. It's what the internet's for, you know.
That is what it is originally made. That was the purpose.
I like that extra clarification.
People are going to write stupid shit globally. That is the goal of this. It was an upvoted Reddit thread about a Twitter post. Okay, so the Twitter post was somebody said it was like 10 words. It was like, we weren't supposed to know this many people existed and what they thought. It was like, that was like the Twitter post. And that made me think, I was like, damn, like maybe humans probably just weren't, you know, like any generation before us, you never knew what like somebody in Europe thought. If you're an American, you wouldn't know what anyone around, like maybe even across the country, you wouldn't even know what they knew or what they thought.
For sure. I mean, it's a very different time we're living in. And I think, you know, I think that's going to be something that humans further down the line are going to be much more used to, you know. I'm sure, you know, evolution and all that science stuff, you know, the future humans will be much more kitted out and, you know, skinned in a way to deal with online and a much sort of global feedback compared to, as you say, humans of the past who only really got comments and reactions from people that they actually saw and integrated with.
Now, how many generations, you know, are we putting on this estimation here, OD?
How fast is evolution? I don't know.
It's been like billions of years to get here.
Well, that's depressing.
And that's really slow if you think about where we are. You know, if you think about your average impression of a human being and you think it's been like, you know, billions of years to get here, you know, are we looking at like, you know, the year 10 million or something, you know, when we can eventually adjust to.
Well, I mean, especially if with each generation, I mean, slowly but surely the internet is becoming more accepted, but, you know, there's still a lot of people who like raise their kids like, oh, internet is bad. Stay away from the internet. So until that mentality kind of shifts to like, oh yeah, we can use the internet. It's not like, it's not this awful thing. You know, it'll still be a while, I'd assume.
I mean, I did. The internet was definitely a better place when it was just sort of the nerds and the geeks, you know. You know, it wasn't mainstream. It wasn't this thing that everybody needed to have. It was just that weird kid who went round his nan's house and played with the dial up, you know, or something.
You know, I mean? Still remember that tone beep, or whatever, the connecting beep. Tone. Beep.
You know, that was good. You know, I mean, social media and all that, a whole load of rubbish. I mean, I have obviously like Twitters and Instagrams, but I don't have any of it on my mobile phone. I did for a long time, but I removed those apps because life's just a lot better without that sort of stuff popping up and notifications here and there. It's even just because of the junk that you consume on it. I don't post on Instagram, but I had the app. I'd open it and I would end up scrolling through these videos, and it's just mind. It's like, I don't want any of that. So no, I took off my phone and I mean, it's the internet's a fascinating place. And obviously, you know, the connections and the global stuff's done a lot of great things. You know, it's not all negativity. It's not all bad things, but.
Well, it's not, but it's a lot easier for people to focus on the negative aspects of things rather than the positive aspects.
Sure. No, for sure. I mean, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
There's I've speaking on the topic that we are like how people react to certain things, I've been really enjoying like thinking about people's reactions to anything. Like whenever I do something, my entire life I've always loved watching people's reactions, but now like I mean my most recent one that has come up many times and monkeys will love that I'm mentioning it again is that when my carry picks first and he's like rank 1000 that I just picked Trian. And I've realized that everyone in my games, whenever you do something that is like prompts a reaction, the reactions you get are so different. You know, sometimes that guy says he's going to support. Sometimes that guy's like, hey, somebody swap lanes with me so this guy won't take my farm. Sometimes that guy just walks down mid. Sometimes your team says, okay, guys, we've got this like stupid ass safe lane, mid, off lane, and four. Let's like rally together to win this game. Sometimes your four position's like, fuck this shit, and they feed down mid. Sometimes, like, it's actually so funny to me how you can take one thing, like one statement, one action, and everyone will respond differently. Like, everyone. And they just, I feel like the rabbit hole just goes deeper and deeper when you think of like random comments on the internet, random posts on Reddit, like whatever, how you can have so many people look at the same information, same situation, and you will get that many different reactions to it. I think that is awesome. And also,
yeah. And confusing. Then, on top of that as well, it kind of like, each individual's reaction kind of depends on like how they're feeling at that point in time, right? Like if they're feeling good, they'll probably react in a certain set of ways. But if they're feeling bad, they might react in a more negative or whatever way. So, you know, there's also a lot of variables on top of the variables.
Yes, there is. I mean, that's something I wish it was just sort of you were able to do. Like, you know, when that person does come in to your Twitch chat stream and says something, you know, that's not very nice, you know, I kind of want to be able to like just call that person and just be like, hey, what's going on? How's life? What's the, you know, find out what got that person to that position where they sat down and felt the need to type some, you know, vitriol.
You're too kind of a person, Owen. You're way too kind.
What do you mean? How's that kind? What do you mean?
Well, like, because like you're trying to figure out what got them to that point, and you know that you're like trying to help them out. I feel, or are you just saying you just want to understand their mentality, not necessarily improve their mentality.
Yeah, I don't think I want to sort of fix things for that person. I mean, if I could, that's great, but that wouldn't be my aim. My aim would just be to understand. You know, that's
I'm sure you would inadvertently fix the mentality. I mean, you know, you would bring a smile to their face.
Yeah, it'd be fun, but it never happens. But because most of the time, you have to tell yourself, most of the chat and comments they put online, you know, they don't really have any emotional weight to them. It's just, you know, it's just, yeah, in the past, like, you when you're younger, you know, like, you go on some stream and you're on an anonymous account, for a lot of people, it can be very tempting to say something that provokes a response, you know. That was what it was all about on the internet in the past. It was just writing these things that would provoke people and make people, like, come out and comment. You know, the famous sort of sentence, I believe, by Einstein or someone, it was like, the quickest way to get an answer on the internet is to post false information. You know, because people, they are provoked to correct you. You know, you go online and you say something incorrect, someone will answer. You ask a question online, nobody's going to bother answering, you know, who cares? But if you actually put something out that's incorrect, someone will respond. And it's the same with sort of like just criticizing people. You know, if someone wants to provoke a reaction out of BSJ, they're not going to say, hey, Brian, you did really good today. They're going to go, oh, BSJ, you're a big piece of shit. I hate you, but I'm going to get off my airwaves. And then Brian will feel an emotion, and then that person will know that he's felt an emotion, and then, you know, they get something out of it. You know, it was much more worth their effort, worth doing the writing the horrible thing, which is why we have to be so grateful for the beautiful fans out there that do say the nice things online, because it's very... I think it's much more selfless to put something positive about someone online. Well, yeah, clearly, rather than something negative, because they don't really have too much to gain from that. They just enjoy what you do enough to go out their way to say something nice, you know.
I definitely needed that reminder. I know for a fact I've heard that saying before about, like, you know, instead of asking a question, just put something wrong. But man, it's so true. Like, I've definitely heard it before, but I hadn't heard it in a while. Definitely needed that reminder.
He said it obviously wasn't Einstein.
No.
Was he around? Yes. Do you know there's videos of Einstein? I didn't know there's videos. I watched like color videos of him teaching.
I mean, he certainly didn't know what the internet was, though.
I don't know. Well, he was pretty smart.
Yeah, his quote probably didn't have the internet specifically mentioned.
Yeah, telephones. Maybe it was telephones.
Did they? Oh, yeah, I guess they did. People said did not know Einstein posted memes. Yeah. I mean, I think what I've realized about Owen Monkeys is that not only, like, he comes off as, like, super, super nice because he cares about everybody, but he's, I think the reason, the source of his caring is that he always wants to know the why. He always wants to understand. He's like, you're having a good day, man? Tell me about it, you know? You're having a shit day? You're having a rough event? Tell me about it, you know? And I think that that's like, it's like, I've realized from a lot of people that happiness or like just enjoyment of things is a lot about just curiosity, you know? And I think Owen, you and Sheaves have helped me in a lot of ways realizing that, you know? Just being curious, you know, little cats or whatever, you know, some stupid metaphorical representation.
It's good. I think it's good to be curious. You know, you never should really be feel afraid to ask questions and...
For sure.
You know, obviously, I feel like on some topics and some things, some people would disagree, but as long as you're not being maliciously curious, you know, nowadays on the internet, people can, you know, ask questions and try and push things because, you know, we're malicious, sort of a malicious agenda. But if you're genuinely curious about something, you know, then I think that's a really good thing. You know, always sort of ask questions and, you know, talk to people, find out, you know, who they are, where they come from, what they do, and
learning things, you know, what they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we're all stupid. We really are. You know,
it's just, amen.
Just, you know, well, obviously, there's a few humans that are less stupid than other humans. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, there's so many things that we just don't know and we'll never know. So, you know, never feel afraid to feel stupid, you know.
What's the last thing you learned, Owen?
Well, I mean, that's one of the problems, being stupid. I don't really learn a lot of things. What did I learn recently? I'm trying to think if I watched any sort of interesting videos. Oh, we were looking at Concorde yesterday. I didn't know how fast the Concorde went, but I remember it was like 2000.
Oh, yes. That is actually the last thing I learned was about the Concorde airplanes.
Yeah, Brian, Monkeys, you know what Concorde is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brian didn't know what Concorde was. Is that like an American thing or what?
I mean, I don't know. I learned what it was in like high school.
Yeah, Concorde.
I didn't remember these at all. They're like planes that get you from London to New York in like 2.5 hours or something. 2 hours,
yeah,
and 52
minutes. London to New York back and back for 27 years.
I didn't know it was that fast, but
yeah,
you know,
3 hours across. Yeah, it is insane.
That's pretty quick.
They went at 2,185 kilometers per hour.
All right, like, I mean, yeah, that's pretty nuts.
Over twice the speed of sound. Yeah, there's only have been two supersonic jets. They were one of them. They ran for 27 years. And then, I mean, they were just too expensive to run. Which is kind of insane as you think about, you know, obviously how much people do pay for travel. Obviously, at this sort of time, probably not the greatest time for sort of the travel business. But now, when things are standard, you know, a lot of money is to be had there, so you would think that someone would come up with a way to make that sort of speed be profitable, but which is a shame. Europe to America in 3 hours, that's insane.
Dude, that'd be chill as fuck. I'd love to do that.
Yeah,
currently it's like 7 or 8 depending on like where you're going, like, and where from. Sometimes 6, I think. Like one way it's 6 because of the jet streams or whatever, and then the other way it's like 7 or 8.
Yeah, it's quite a difference going the other way. Yeah, about an hour. Yeah.
Hey, they, you know, that's what games are for. Somebody only knew what a Concorde was because of Fallout 4. You know, I remember I was at some sort of history museum with my dad at like in my later teenage years, and I knew all the guns because I played Call of Duty. I knew all the guns that were in the fucking museum, and I'm like, you know, that's what games are for. I know that's a Thompson. I know that's a MK-47 or 44 or whatever. I know all this shit because I played Call of Duty, you know, and that was my first step to convincing my parents, you know, to let me
play.
I played World at War was the first one I ever played. So everyone always flamed me because, you know, I thought World at War was like the most incredible game of all time because that was the first multiplayer, like online with ranking, leveling up game I ever played. Yeah. And you know, everyone was just like, you know, Modern Warfare 1 was just better. And I'm like, well, I didn't have an Xbox when Modern Warfare 1 came out. So I didn't even. I'm saying that I missed out, and I'm like, you know, for me, like the fact that World of War was that great, and everyone for me, and then everyone said like compared to Modern Warfare 1, it sucked. You know, like I realized how much I missed out on. But I played World of War. I played a ton of Modern Warfare 2. I played Black Ops and a bit of Modern Warfare 3. I think somewhere around there is where I stopped playing. So. But what was I saying? I was talking. Oh, the only reason we even mentioned Call of Duty was because of me saying that's how you learn. Yes, I was gonna say that that's like the first step to convincing my parents to let me have a career in video games because, you know, something useful to come of them. But
my first step was making it to a LAN in Sweden, and my parents were like, "Oh, nice."
Well, LAN, what was that?
What was it? It was called like Thor Open or something of 2012.
Oh, it wasn't like it was. Yeah, some random. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a super random.
And did they back in 2012? Like, would they fly you over? Or you had to cover that.
No,
yourself?
No. We were sponsored by Root yeah. Gaming, and they did like a charity fundraiser or something.
Oh, to get you
fans.
Over there.
Yeah, to get us over.
Oh, but that's cool. Well, but the fans did cover it. Like you.
I mean, they covered. Oh. They covered like four of our players.
Yeah.
But one of our players was from Argentina, and the flight was like.
Oh wow!
$2,100 or something, and we just like we could not manage that.
so we had to use a stand-in, or yeah.
We just used a local stand-in, like a Swedish stand-in.
And how did it go? Problem. Did you?
Oh, we lost. That was my well. I mean, to be fair, who is it? NTH, No Tidehunter was there. The team that was the original alliance, like the S4 Bulldog, Ake, EGM, and Eternal Envy. I think it was Envy before. Wait, was Loda?
Yeah,
no,
Envy was on that team, wasn't he? Yeah.
EGM wasn't on the team. Loda was on the team, and then they eventually kicked Envy for EGM. But yeah, it was that team and the original Fnatic as well. The No-Tail, Fly, Hani, Era, and
damn.
I forget the last player.
Trixie.
That's a freaking all star.
Trixie.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But those two teams were at my first LAN event ever, and I got absolutely dumpstered. Oh my goodness, it was a blast.
Was it? I mean, at the time, was it like was it sad because you didn't win, or was it like just a great experience?
I genuinely did. I was like, holy shit, it's so cool that I'm in Sweden.
Yeah.
Okay, you said your first LAN. I had my like full life circle thing because what happened was that the new Liquid team's here. So I played some ping pong with Zai, okay, at the Liquid facility. And the last time I played ping pong with Zai was at the Red Bull Battlegrounds LAN, which was my first ever LAN, which we also got destroyed. But that was like 6 or 7 years ago. And when I played with Zai, like it just hit me. I was like, holy shit. That's the last time I played ping pong against you. It's been like 7 years or whatever. You know, life comes full circle. Somehow we're both in the same facility. Obviously, you know, he's on the team and everything, but I thought that was still crazy. So my question, you know, to wrap things up about, because we're about to hit the hour, is Owen, do you remember your first LAN that you casted?
Well, I remember my first event, which I had to travel out to, which was one of the, I can't remember what season it was one of the Dream Leagues. So I think in that sense, the first actual like event where I casted with the audience must have been the sort of the ending of that season. But yeah, it was great. Just sort of traveling, you know, it was the first time really I'd traveled, you know, I'd had like school trips in Germany and France, but like going to Sweden, you know, for such a long time was, you know, it was awesome. And, you know, just working with all the other talent that were there and, you know, getting to see sort of what happens behind the camera with production and all the effort and work that's put into making the shows that the viewers get to enjoy. It was awesome. It was awesome. And for me as a caster, it was very much like I knew, you know, before I was getting on that plane that was all I wanted to do. I was like, I'm just going to do this and really try and make this work because, you know, it's just so exciting. It's so different. You know, I've been working, you know, just in a shop sort of 9 to 5 on the tills, and I wasn't unhappy with life. You know, it was fine, but suddenly getting to travel and just make money from playing video games, obviously indirectly. You know, I make it from using the knowledge and excitement that I get from spending hours of playing Dota 2. You know, it's just awesome. It was just awesome. And everyone that I met was just great. And it made me never look back, really, you know, after that first event. Yeah.
Never look back, he says.
Damn it, Owen.
Owen, that was our moment. No, I'm kidding. But we really appreciate having you on for the podcast. Honestly, I would say whenever we have guests, it's probably like 40% me, 35% monkeys, 25% the guest. This time around, it was a nice change of pace because you gave by far the most thorough answers that we've ever had on our podcast. And
we like it when people talk.
We like it. That means we get to talk less. We don't have to do our job.
We talked a little bit too.
No. This is good. I wouldn't bring it up if it was bad. You know, I'd tell you in private saying, hey, man, you know, watch yourself. Well,
I see you typing right now, bro. I know
you. Oh, shit.
I don't know how you saw that, but I'm going to act like you didn't. So, but no, man, thanks so much for coming on. It was great to have you as a guest. Good luck in the DPC. I'll see you soon. It was nice seeing you yesterday. And monkeys, my man, till next time or what?
Yeah, sounds good. It was nice seeing you again, Owen. Hope to see you at the land soon.
What was the last time we saw? Well, sorry, we ended the episode, but it was back at the major where we, well, I guess it was in the past, where we had the food problems, I remember. There was people getting angry. But it's the one where you and the team with Kyle.
Boston major?
The Boston major.
I definitely saw you at the Boston major. I've been to, I went to the Paris major in 2019.
That was a nice one.
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
Do you actually get to go into Disneyland?
Oh yeah, they had. Well, they gave each team tickets. I personally didn't end up going because after we got eliminated, I was really sick. But I do remember the Disneyland major light show that they did. They had a VIP section for everyone that went to the Disneyland major, and then we just got front row seats to like the coolest light show I've ever seen. Like they did the Disney castle.
I don't think I got invited to that. What the hell?
Well, sorry. Maybe it was a player only thing. I don't know.
Oh dear. I didn't get to see this.
Take that up with the next TOs. Oh, and that's that's got to be on your demands list.
I made my complaints. You know, we've never been back to Disneyland. That's why I was like unacceptable. Cast just didn't get to see the light show. We're never coming back again, and we never did.
You can use this talk from monkeys as like, you know, proof that it did happen, and that we have our fair, reasonable demands. So, but yeah, guys, thanks again. I'll see you guys later. Have a good night, guys.
Catch you guys later. Bye bye.
Thanks.
Good night.
I want to give a shout out to Prediction Esports. They are our partner for the podcast. They also, you know, they make all this happen, organize it, they put it up on social medias, Spotify, iTunes, Prediction with two E's. And then also we have next week, hopefully, we have a podcast event, !! Podcast event in chat, where you can buy tickets to be live in a chat room with me and monkeys talking to us, asking us questions, anything you want, really. So click on that link if you guys are interested. I'll type it, pick podcast event. You can go to prediction.com and then you go to the main screen. Let me just show you guys real quick. Let's go to the main screen and they have a bunch of upcoming events. This is ours. It's next Monday, interactive AMA. And there's other stuff you can find on there if you guys are interested.